Hello, and welcome to another episode of Databook, a podcast from Chief Healthcare Executive. With Databook, we look at technology, innovation, and the transformation of healthcare. I'm your host, Ron Southwick, the lead editor of Chief Healthcare Executive. Today, we're talking with Brent Dover, the CEO of Carta Healthcare, a technology company that works with hospitals and health systems. We talk about the evolving role of AI in healthcare, how the conversation is changing, how healthcare organizations should be looking at AI, and some very interesting thoughts on leadership. It's a great conversation. Thanks for joining us. This is Databook. Thanks for joining us today. We're talking with Brent Dover, the CEO of Carta Healthcare, a healthcare technology company that works with hospitals and health systems to help get data that can save time and operate more efficiently. Brent, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Ron. Appreciate the opportunity.
Okay. Well, let's dive in. Spoiler alert, we're going to be talking about AI.
Shocking.
Yes. So who would have guessed? But yes, let's talk about AI. And I'd like to get your perspective on how the conversation is changing around AI. Just are we sort of getting past the discussion of whether AI solutions in healthcare are effective and in fact are working?
I think so. There are many, many use cases that are truly working and that are delivering really tangible benefits to providers. I think the big thing that we're past is maybe the idea of should AI be something that we are serious about? And I'm telling you, like 9 to 12 months ago, there was still just a lot of question marks about all of that. And the conversation has shifted, I think, more from AI is a concept should we be thinking about a systematic tool for a healthcare system. And what we're seeing more of and is show me your tangible, deliverable results that can make an impact in our healthcare system. And we've really gotten down to kind of use cases as opposed to super high-level strategy. And I think that's helpful.
I think it's interesting to hear you say even a year ago, you still had some folks that were sort of dipping their toes in and really weren't sure how seriously to take AI.
Well, and for good reason, right? Like, we're in a serious business here in healthcare, and it has to be right. Accuracy has to be substantial, especially as we move closer and closer to clinical content. We just can't get it wrong. There's no room for it. And hey, a year ago, it was a little bit of the Wild West. We were all learning this technology as individuals in our personal lives, and we were beginning to apply it in our work life. And I think there was still quite a bit of room for questioning about that. And the other thing that we just saw were healthcare systems beginning to spin up AI governance committees and unique data right understanding and agreements. Like, there was just new things that had to kind of be put in place for healthcare systems to get serious about this. And vendors had to respond to all of that. And I think it's happened really quickly for healthcare, but we're making a lot of really forward progress, at least through the lens that I see the marketplace.
And I've heard that more and more too, where conversations have gone from, hey, we need to get an AI solution to, we are looking for something that's going to attack a very specific problem. And that's something that I think has changed a little bit over recent months, certainly over the last year or two. Is that a perspective you'd share?
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, we are a company that does clinical data abstraction for a variety of use cases. So assisting people who typically had to go in and dive really deep into an entire patient's medical record to find relevant content to fill out a form or complete a registry or whatever the use case was. It's pretty easy for us to find very tangible use cases in those environments. And that's been really fun and an interesting journey. A year ago, though, people were wondering, could platforms solve all sorts of problems? Like one vendor, all sorts of problems. And I think, and the value is on how smart of an AI engineer are you? Whereas today, I think the question is more, how practical has your AI solution gotten at workflow integration, solving specific productivity gains, answering complicated questions? Like, the subject matter expertise coupled with being able to really use AI tools is what's winning in the marketplace at the moment. As opposed to a year ago, it was higher level, what is your AI background? And I think we've moved on a little bit from that. Does that make sense? I hope I did an okay job of describing that.
I think you made a lot of sense actually, and it kind of just brought up the question in terms of like from hospitals and how they're approaching vendors and approaching like even you for that. Are you seeing a difference in terms of I've heard hospitals say they're looking for ROI faster with different tech companies and sort of needing to know that they're going to see returns sooner than later. So is that part of a change maybe in the conversation you may be seeing with some of the hospitals, maybe from your end or from other tech companies where hospitals don't really have 5 years to wait to see if this is going to make sense or make a return or not.
For sure. That's exactly what's happening. And so 9 to 12 months ago, the topic was, hey, I'm a vendor. I've got a great AI solution and I'm looking, or I've got an AI platform and I'm looking for a solution to solve. I'm not 100% sure what that solution is. Hospital system, can you help me tell me what your problems are? And maybe together we can work on that. I think that whole story is over. And hospitals are now coming saying, vendor with subject matter expertise, tell me exactly what the ROI is that you can deliver for me. And because our healthcare system is looking to implement this where we can, but we need the ROI now. We need the productivity gains now. We need the impact on patient care now. And so that's why I think the solutions are winning out, not the theories.
Now, you did a really interesting survey on AI in healthcare a few weeks ago. Wanted to talk a little bit about, again, seeing value in AI, but it was interesting some of the responses with most of those surveyed saying that they think AI delivers the most value when it is actually helping clinicians do work, but clinicians are still validating the results. So I think one interesting takeaway is that clinicians still feel like they very much need to be in the loop utilizing these AI tools.
Yeah, for sure. And that's a core tenet of our company. We've always believed that. We call it hybrid intelligence. We used to call it human in the loop. All of those things are really critical concepts. And again, the stakes are just too high. So look, let's just step back for a minute. If previously we were asking a nurse or a clinical specialist to fill out a quality registry form, and maybe that form would take them 2 hours to log through a complicated patient's entire medical record, seeking answers to hundreds of questions that a quality registry form might be asking. And if you go into that patient's medical record and they have a really huge amount of data, finding all the right answers to that was an arduous task. So now I just imagine people who have done that work themselves, but have built AI tools who know exactly how to prompt, to search, to look for, what questions to ask, how to validate those questions. And the AI tools can now bring suggested answers to that data abstractor without them having to crawl through an entire medical record and say, hey, Carta's AI tool just read the entire record. Here are the three things we think you need to consider about this answer. Here's our suggested answer. And here are the specific references from documents inside the medical record that justify our answer. Well, the abstractor basically saying, oh my gosh, my time's been saved. I've been guided to a correct answer. I still get to apply my medical inference, my knowledge, my expertise to validate that this is correct. And I can answer the question knowing that I've had an incredible assistant read the entire medical record in advance. Well, that is the best of all worlds. Technology's really accelerating productivity, taking away some of the drudgery of the work, like kind of the monotonous stuff, and still asking abstractors to apply their medical knowledge and inference and expertise in a really productive way. And so that 2 hour task is now maybe taking 50 minutes, 40 minutes. Maybe the accuracy level overall of those answers is moving up substantially. And all of that's getting done for less money. These are the types of ROIs, tangible value that hospital systems seem to be responding to.
And it's really interesting you talk about like, getting the data, but it's not just getting data, but getting the right data the hospitals
Oh,
really need.
this is an interesting thing that we've learned. We happen to be an abstraction outsourcing company, and then we built these AI tools for our own internal use. And now we're sharing those same tools with customers who maybe aren't interested in outsourcing the work to us, but they just want to kind of empower their own team. So we have this very mixed model of use our tools for your own people, or if you need some extra work and some extra people or hands on deck, we can supply that as well. But all day long, we trained our tools and our capabilities on our with our own abstractors, who were never shy about telling us, hey, this isn't great, or this is how it could be improved, right? So we were really able to learn a lot from that. And one of the things we learned early on was, don't show me your I think it's correct answers, or don't give me a confidence interval if you think, oh, this answer's probably 74.5% correct. Just show me the stuff you think's right. And if you don't think it's right, don't show me anything. I'd rather go look for it. It was a really fascinating kind of glimpse into, number one, these clinical data abstractors are passionate about getting their answers right. They know that the answers to these questions drive quality outcome programs. They drive performance improvement. They care about it so deeply. And so what we learned over time was, don't even show answers, suggested answers, even if we think we have justification, unless we have an incredibly high confidence level that the AI is right. Let's take the win. Let's get productivity where we can. And usually we're getting those questions correct at a really high degree of frequency, around 90 to 95% of the time. And so there's only a handful of times when an abstractor has to kind of dig through the record themselves and find the answer. We just found that to be fascinating. And the more we've gone towards that, the more confidence that people who haven't been using AI tools for 20 or 30 years in their career, they start feeling confident that, hey, this AI thing's for real. And by the way, that then builds inside the healthcare system where, we're not really doing real-time clinical suggestions to caregivers. Obviously, the work we're doing is after the care has been delivered, but you can see confidence building when we continually are getting medical concepts correct, and when nurses and abstractors inside the hospitals who work closely with doctors are reporting back, hey, this AI tool is making my job better. I'm more accurate. I understand more about what's happening with this patient as a result of these AI tools, so I can answer these questions better. All of that, I think, is building foundational support and trust in the tools that we're bringing to the marketplace.
And it's interesting talking about the confidence. And in that survey, you found that almost three out of four say that without clinicians being involved, AI tools could really misinterpret complex clinical data. So that also just seems to underscore, even though seeing great potential in these AI tools, still concerns about what would happen if they're left unchecked, and really stressing that need for the clinical involvement.
Yeah. And maybe we're being a little self-serving here. We employ hundreds of clinical data abstractors ourselves. We just know day in and day out how important that role is. We also know that the industry is spending a huge amount of money basically paying people to dig into a medical record and fill out a form. Forms of all kinds of reasons for all kinds of really good purposes that have really great end states that drive great insights. But depending on your estimate, our industry spends between $10 to $15 billion a year doing exactly that. And the demands on abstractors for more and more forms to be filled out, it's always increasing. And so what we see everywhere are healthcare systems who are just understaffed, and they would rather, in many cases, wonder, do we take these really smart clinicians and apply them on this abstraction process, or how do we continue to support, the ever increasing demand for patient-facing work? Well, when these tools can come along and they can get it done correctly, we can take the same workforce and do a whole lot more. And we think that's the real beneficial, like long-term gain here. And so we'll pound on the table all day long on the desk. The people are not going away. They're going to be able to practice at the very highest level of their license, do the work, the portion of the work that they really like, and perhaps especially in the world of abstraction, spend more of their time on the quality projects, the process improvement projects, the utilization of the data, not just the collection of the data. And that's what is really important to us. So, to all the points, the survey results, our personal experiences, just what feels right, hybrid intelligence, people in the loop, having the AI tools help all of us do our better, do our jobs better, but still being there to make sure we're getting it right every step of the way.
So it seems like the answer is not really full automation with these AI tools.
I don't believe so. At least in the space that we're in, I don't know about you. I want to go talk to my doctor. I want them to have all this information, right? I see my doctors overwhelmed with all the information they have to sort through. I love the idea of clinically validated AI tools summarizing a lot about my condition and then helping those clinicians kind of just fight through the huge amount of data that they have to understand, but then still apply their personal judgment and reasoning. That feels like the sweet spot to me. And we're getting, I think, all that started by working in an area of, kind of registering quality work that can re make a real difference. And if we really nail this, and we are, maybe it can begin helping other clinicians with other medical concepts and other areas of healthcare. But I still think those people are always going to be there. I'm going to want them there. You're going to want them there. I think that's just reality.
Now, I know Carta is also using some Claude models in terms of delivering data for health systems. Could you just talk a little bit about Carta's work with Claude models and finding actionable data?
Yeah, it's an interesting story to me. I hope it is to you. Just 1 minute. So, before LLMs showed up, we had been working on all of this with kind of older school AI tools. So this is 3 and 4 years ago. Machine learning, natural language processing, kind of the traditional older things. And we could find maybe 20 or 30% of the answers we needed using those older tools, but we could just never get it massively awesome. And then LLM showed up, and about a year and a half ago, we just when all these things were kind of breaking into the market at the same time, we had to make a choice. And we made an educated guess that Anthropic delivering Claude models through AWS would be an environment that we would maybe not have to write the AI ourselves, but we could be the beneficiaries of becoming great AI prompt engineers. Because, right, well, let's be honest, Anthropic and OpenAI and everybody else in Google, they're spending a lot more money on the AI tools than we would ever be able to. So we shifted. How do we just become incredible subject matter experts that are leveraging this ever-evolving technology? And it just felt to us that Anthropic and the Claude model was a way we could do it securely, where we could kind of section off each hospital's data from everybody else's. So we have no shared data model or anything like that. Each one of our customers has their own environment. Our tools get trained for their data set. And we've built tools to help us make that training all happen much, much faster. And we were, I don't know, lucky slash very fortunate that we made a choice with the Anthropic Claude models. And we've just been the incredible beneficiaries of that. And it also just seems, as time's marched on, that Anthropic seems to have a deep understanding of the topic that you and I have been talking about. Where does AI fit with humans in the loop? And they're in the news about this topic a lot recently, and I think they're on the right side of it all. So we've just been very fortunate in all of that.
How should hospitals and health systems be really looking at AI and weighing AI solutions? You've talked about them starting to stand up governance committees recently, but what are the key principles hospitals should be using as they really try to incorporate AI into their strategy?
Yeah, great question. I think it goes back to what they're doing naturally on their own. I think they're saying, show me the solutions that make the productivity gains and the job easier for our current team. And then they're looking for advocates who say, hey, I have a use case that I think is interesting that could benefit from some AI tools, just as all of us are learning more and more about these tools. And then they go out and they look for some subject matter experts who maybe have built a solution in that regard. And then my strong advice is you shouldn't have to pay in advance for this stuff, hospitals. Carta's business model is all about if you want us to fill out some forms or if you want to use our tools to fill out forms, after that work is done, we'll send you an invoice for the actual amount of work that was accomplished. You shouldn't have to sign up for a 2 or 3 or 4 year contract with guaranteed minimums and cancellation clauses and all that stuff. Your AI vendor, and this is what we do, should earn your business every day, every week, every month. And if we're doing something great for you, and if we're bringing subject matter expertise and great AI tools that your team's using, we think you'll keep using more and more of it the following month and the month and the month after that. And so that's what we do. We just go out and say, hey, we know how productive we make your teams. We know how much more productive our teams can be and save you money. And I've been in this job for 3 years. We haven't lost one customer. Our customers keep asking us to do more and more month after month after month. And that feels to me, and my customers can cancel anytime. That feels to me like the model where the days of hospitals being asked to sign up for these big locked-in contracts just isn't right. And we're really pleased to be on the breaking edge of, new technology that's really delivering a great solution. And at the same time, having a leading edge business model that I think just makes sense for healthcare in this big unknown world. Let's all jump in together. And if we're delivering value, we think you'll want to keep inviting us back. And that's what's happening.
I will say, from hospital health leaders I've been talking to and hearing at conventions and conferences, they are increasingly not looking to do longer term deals. Like, they'll say, hey, if this is working in a year, we'll keep going. But if it's not, we're moving on. So it just seems like the word I'm getting from hospital health leaders is that they don't have time to waste 4 years to see if they're going to get a return on the investment. And they're looking at very short term contracts, and if they work, great, and if not, they are moving on.
That's exactly right. And then I think it also maybe reduces the burden on the evaluation process up front. Like we all know, right? Many of these technology deals were 18, 24-month evaluation cycles. We don't have time for that. If my contractual commitment to the vendor is shorter or doesn't feel so open-ended, then maybe the burden on the evaluation can be shrunk and our time to value can be increased if we make some good decisions out there in the marketplace. And so I think all this is changing at the same time, and it's really an exciting time to be a part of it, honestly.
Crystal ball time. Where do you see AI 5 years from now in healthcare? How much has AI changed the industry as we know it?
Well, it's already happening so fast. I think it's hard to be in the crystal ball world, but I think there are, I'll go back to a pretty simple concept. All kinds of forms are being filled out inside of healthcare, pre-authorization, post-authorization, release of information forms, registry quality forms, like clinical trial patient matching forms. I think all of that stuff gets to some kind of dramatic human in the loop, hybrid intelligence solution where you're seeing 60, 70, 80% productivity gains with higher degrees of accuracy. I think AI tools, we are one of the things that we've done. Abstractors want to know a case summary before they start abstracting a case. And so our AI reads this entire medical record and then gives a one or two pager about here's everything you should probably know about this case before you start doing the work. That case summary has so many applications, as you can imagine. And especially if we can get ours clinically validated by all these abstractors who say, yes, it's right over and over and over again. That case summary part is a huge thing that I think can have that cognitive unload for caregivers on the front lines. I think that'll be a huge thing that starts to happen. I think you'll be able to see a future where much of routine care can be managed with an AI agent, and the cognitive load of our doctors and nurses can be focused on the stuff that really, really matters. So, like the kind of routine maintenance stuff, I think we're going to see a lot of that come online. This will be the logical progression as we have more and more hybrid intelligence, humans in the loop working, increasing their productivity, gaining confidence in the tools, and then moving on to more esoteric projects in the future.
Now we're starting to get near the end of our window. We always like to ask healthcare leaders about lessons in leadership that they've learned that might be useful to other healthcare leaders. Just from your perspective, what are some lessons that you've learned that might be helpful to other leaders along the way?
Oh, wow. People are at their best when they know that their manager or their organization believes in them and gives them confidence and isn't out to get them. And leaders and organizations unwittingly send messages that I'm out to get you all the time. And unfortunately, put people in a defensive crouch. And just, I guess, the older I've got, the more I've learned, people need to know that I care about them and that I want their best work. I don't want them working defensively. I want them working with their most creative mind. And I don't know, it's really easy to say, but it's so hard to do. We as humans don't do a great job when people are telling us something about us when we're not sure what the motivations of that person are. People can be incredibly motivated when a coach or a mentor or a peer who cares about them and they know that they care about them can suggest improvement and encourage them to keep stretching. And I think that's the number one thing I've learned. It's taken me a long time to figure it out. I'm not sure that made sense,
I've
but
made complete sense. I'm sitting there like, getting ready to, give you a applause for that one. 'Cause that's, I think it's just such an important thing. So I talked to another hospital leader. He talked about when he was doing an end of the year thank you card, and then he initially was doing some drafts, and he was like, was getting ready to say something along the lines of like, have a great year, congratulations to everybody who did a great job this year, and let's keep pushing later. And then he struck out the part about, let's keep pushing for even more success. And he's like, it's okay once in a while just to celebrate success without making people feel like, okay, but now you got to hit his next level. And I just, that's what I was thinking of when you were talking about that. I just thought that's such a great lesson to have in terms of managing, leading people.
that's a really great lesson. And it's really the thing, like when we have trust, we can be our best. And when we don't, fight or flight just kicks in. It's just human nature. And when fight or flight kicks in, especially in the workforce, we're not being our best. We just aren't.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Well, this has been a great conversation. It really flew by on my end. That's always a sign of a good conversation. So,
I love it.
thanks so much for taking the time and joining us today. We've been talking with Brent Dover of Carta Healthcare. Brent, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for all the great questions. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Databook, a podcast from Chief Healthcare Executive. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. For the latest news, in-depth analysis, and deeper dives on the big issues in the world of healthcare, visit chiefhealthcareexecutive.com. You can also follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and X. I'm Ron Southwick. Thanks for joining us. Take care.